The first speaker, who is known to more people, I think, than the Vice President of the United States, Fritz Bell, creator of the wonderful Good Shape website. He's known on the internet as the anonymous Good Shape, holds a BS degree in engineering from Yale. His medical experience was a brief tour as a medic in the United States Air Force Reserve. Can he come up, Fritz?
Yeah.
And his professional career has included finance, manufacturing, government, and education. 8 years ago, when his wife developed very severe multiple sclerosis, he turned to the internet for answers. In the spring of 2000, after he learned of successful alternative MS treatments, he started a website and message board. These sites provided a transdermal histamine treatment and encouraged visitors to follow the experiments of others, including using, and if necessary, even making their own low-dose naltrexone. While the use of the name Good Shape was initiated to help prevent liability issues, the anonymity has generated an unexpected phenomenon. Fritz writes, thousands of people have successfully followed the ideas posted on Good Shape's message board, but Fritz Bell has yet to convince 10 friends or family members to respect his medical advice. There you are, Fritz. I hope you don't mind if we eat while you talk.
That's what we're here for. Thank you, David, and thank you especially, David, and your family and everybody who participated in this. I think this is a great start. Is this happening again next year?
If you wanted to.
Well, I don't have much to say here today other than to repeat a little of that history, which is that my wife did have a severe case of multiple sclerosis, and it got to a point where the doctors had, in fact, given up on her. And I arrived back from a vacation in 97, and they left me with a choice of did I want her to die at home or in the hospital. So it was at about that point in 97 that I sort of decided to take over as the major medical care. And my primary objective was to go out into the world and find out what other alternatives there were to help people with multiple sclerosis. And I developed a sort of a pattern of experimenting with anything and everything that was out there. And that ended up leading to getting on the internet and starting a website of my own and a message board of my own with the primary intention of encouraging people with multiple sclerosis to experiment with things that are working for other people. Everybody in this room who's familiar with multiple sclerosis knows that no two people respond the same. No two cases of multiple sclerosis are the same, and thereby medicines that might relieve symptoms will respond the same with any two individuals. So mostly the message board was set up to encourage people to experiment, to encourage people to put ideas up on the board, and hopefully to have people come in and try out various ways of dealing with their multiple sclerosis. It is correct that I did pick the name Good Shape because I was looking for layers of limiting my liability. We are in a litigious society, and everybody who I said I was going to do this with said that I was going to be sued until I couldn't see straight. So I did try to do two things. I think if you look back over 5 years, you'll never see that I ever posted anything that didn't say, this is what I do for my wife. It did not go into detail as to go do it yourself or I would recommend this. It just kept saying, this is what I'm doing. And that's mostly what our message board says. This is what somebody is doing. And the other limitation was I always thought, if somebody did sue Good Shape, how could a judge look at the plaintiff and say, are you telling me you went on the internet and followed somebody called Good Shape, and then you're telling me that you think it's his fault that you're having a problem? At any rate, that's how Good Shape came to be. But within a couple of months after I started the Good Shape thing because histamine had the application of transdermal histamine had worked pretty well on my wife. So I started giving it away. Actually, I gave it away to, I think, over 1,500 people. But I started giving histamine away And that was the beginning of it. Now, histamine is not is something. It turns out that maybe 50% of all MS patients have low body histamine levels, and that maybe initially histamine might help them in the beginning with some symptoms. But even of those 50%, I'd say 50% of those within a month or two don't respond well to histamine, and 50% of the remaining 25%. Probably have given it up by now because it never was something that was a long-term symptom reliever. But within a month or two after starting up that message board, there was actually somebody who never gets mentioned, if I can remember her name. Yeah, Judy Lanigan, a gal called Judy Lanigan. I don't know if anybody knows Judy Lanigan, but I give her credit, not good shape credit. I give Judy Lanigan credit for posting on a message board in February of 2000 the fact that she had just had a visit with Dr. Bihari and that he had told her the daughter friend's story and was saying that he was going to start to put some people on low-dose naltrexone, MS people on low-dose naltrexone, and she was one of his first prescriptions that he had written. Well, within 3 days, maybe, after Judy Lanigan put that up, at least three or four, I got some naltrexone for my wife, and some other people on our message board got some. And I'd say by the first week in March, at least a half a dozen of us were on low-dose naltrexone. And those really, I'd like to believe, were some of the first people, the first 10. I don't know how. I was hoping Dr. Bihari would be here and let me know if I'm exaggerating that story or not. But we definitely were either the second, third, and fourth, or we were somewhere in there. But that phenomenally grew and has continued to grow. For reasons I have no idea why, other than the fact that word of mouth and a certain personality that's receptive to it will become a, by hook or crook, will become a low-dose naltrexone taker. I never did. Maybe I did try and write down at one point what perhaps those people that do take low-dose naltrexone have. I think all of them have a problem with the way their doctor has treated them. They whatever they're being treated for, it's not working, and they're starting to get frustrated. I think all of them the majority, all of them, 90% of them are very intelligent. They have a mind of their own. They're independent thinkers, and that somehow got them to the internet, and from the internet, through these now several message boards, they can read that, hey, low-dose naltrexone is working for this person. It doesn't cost much, and there are no side effects. And if, given the fact that these people are intelligent and frustrated, the natural progression of their thinking is that they're going to go try and get some low-dose naltrexone. And they do. So the success of this, I don't know, pyramid of internet visitors taking low-dose naltrexone, I think is something that might be capitalized or at least put into the mindset of those of us who are trying to work on trying to get this out to the world. And I have a suggestion on that in my closing comment. But just before I have a closing comment, I want to tell my favorite story. You've heard a couple of favorite stories here cases. Two Aprils ago, I was leaving Florida to come up north, and a 65-year-old woman friend of mine called and said, Fritz, what am I going to do? I have a 90-year-old father who's being sent home from the hospital today with terminal prostate cancer, and he's been pretty much in a coma for the last week, and he hasn't eaten, and he's peeing blood, and he's in bed, he's down, his weight is down to 90 pounds, and the doctors have said to my 90-year-old mother, do you want him to die at home or in the hospital? And what do you think we should do? Well, I said, well, why don't you bring him home? And of course, nobody listens to me, as I said in the opening remarks. But I said, as long as I wish you had listened to me 6 months ago, but as long as tell your mother to bring him home, and let's see if we can get him some low-dose naltrexone. So I actually had to leave the next day to drive north, and it wasn't until I was back in Florida in November when the woman called me up and invited me over to her house for dinner. And I asked, what happened to your father? She said, I'll tell you when you get to dinner. Well, when I got to dinner, they'd set up the dinner table with me at the head, and the I guess the dinner party was in my honor, because who else should be there but her 90-year-old father and 90-year-old mother. And the story was that after 3 days of sipping on some liquid low-dose naltrexone, her father, for the first time in a week, by the way, hospice was there, round-the-clock nursing was there. This was as low a Lazarus position as you want to get into. But after 3 days of sipping low-dose naltrexone in the evening, he spoke for the first time in a week and said, I'm hungry. And that was the beginning. When they arrived at the dinner table last November, he and his wife had just gotten off a cruise, and I just saw them coming out of a movie theater just last week. So anyway, that's my Lazarus story on low-dose naltrexone. And my concluding remarks are just the conference here is trying to drum up some brainstorming ideas. I guess we're going to have a brainstorming session. But my recommendation is that I know that clinical studies are valuable, and in the medical profession they're valuable, and they're valuable for building a historic library and things like that. But my recommendation is that excellent piece of PR work that the Gluck sent out here a while ago, which I think reads, low-dose naltrexone successfully treats HIV, AIDS, cancer, and MS, strengthening the immune system. I think that this one piece of PR thing could be broken into at least six that wouldn't be so shocking, because nobody wants to believe it does all these things. I think a PR firm should be hired and send out weekly little anecdotal stories, whether they're from doctors or even from people without any professional background. But I believe that if we could send out a weekly story about low-dose naltrexone arrests cancer, lung cancer, and somebody, I mean, there's a story. There are 30 stories in this room right now. One little story every week. In the beginning, nobody's going to pick it up. But after a while, somebody's going to say, why does this keep happening? Why don't we run one of these stories? And I hope I would hope it would grow the way that our internet business is.